Well, happy Father's Day. One of the themes that runs through our readings today is being chosen or favored. This connects directly to the holiday that we celebrate this weekend. As one of four sons, I experienced myself being chosen and seeing one of my other brothers chosen at different times. I was the eldest son. One of my earliest memories is that of being on stage with my dad. I was about 7 or 8. He had been a performer in Chicago before he met my mother. As a family man, he worked for Santa Fe Railway, but the stage was still in his blood. He created a skit that involved me as his assistant, and we would perform at Moose Lodge or Elks Club or that type of a venue. As the oldest son, when I began to drive, I also started to share duties as a chauffeur for my other siblings. It was also my responsibility to mow the lawn and shovel the driveway. I learned that the privilege of being chosen also came with certain responsibilities. In our first reading today, God tells the Israelites, "If you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession, dearer to me than all other people." Here he is speaking just like any human father. The people of Israel are chosen by God, yet being chosen means that they also have responsibilities. If you hearken to my voice, listen to what I'm telling you, and you keep my covenant, obey the commandments that I give you. Being on Mount Sinai in God's presence was a frightening experience for the people. Still, they agreed to follow the covenant. The law, the sign of God's promise and covenant, ought to have governed their hearts and institutions of that people to whom Abraham's faith gave birth. But after David, Israel gave in to the temptation of becoming a kingdom like any other nation. The kingdom of God, however, the object of the promise made to David, would be the work of the Holy Spirit, would belong to the poor according to that Spirit. God did not choose the children of Abraham because they were rich, wise, or powerful. He had a plan for salvation that required a people that would rely upon him. Israel's identity as a people is put upon the foundation that does not depend on political maneuverings or the normal trappings of national existence. Israel will be a covenant people. Yet this people throughout their history would test God's patience over and over again. They would be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, but not without struggles and detours along the way. We know that God's plan reaches its fulfillment with the incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This plan required the choosing of the people of Israel in order to come about. In our gospel today, Jesus acts in his capacity as the Son of God, fulfilling that plan. He sees the people like sheep without a shepherd. He talks to his disciples about the harvest being ready, but laborers are few. Earlier in this same gospel, he had selected Matthew, the tax collector, to become a disciple. This caused some problems among other followers, and especially among Jewish authorities who opposed his teaching. He chooses some of his disciples to become apostles, those who will be sent to the house, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He has chosen some of the sheep to become shepherds themselves. Jesus begins to describe the responsibilities of the apostles. "As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The 12 will share in Jesus' own mission of proclaiming the kingdom and healing those in need. Note that the apostles are not yet commissioned to teach. That comes only after the resurrection when they have a deeper grasp of Jesus' mission. Any disciple who follows Jesus can expect to meet indifference, hostility, or rejection. The discourse in Matthew's gospel clearly warns the apostles about the cost of proclaiming the gospel in an authentic way. Well, today Jesus chooses us to be his shepherds. Just the fact that you shepherd your children into Mass this morning is following that edict by Jesus. We are to proclaim that God is here with us. And we also cure the sick, maybe not by some miraculous way, but just in saying I'm sorry to somebody. And these are all things that we are doing today as the ones Jesus chooses. And being chosen has its obligations and challenges, but also hope. That hope is addressed in our second reading from the letter to the Romans. God proves his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. In this section of his letter, St. Paul draws out the contrast between the sin of Adam and the redemption by Jesus Christ. He insists Christ's death and resurrection have affected all of human history. His argument is basically this: if the sin of Adam was so far-reaching, how much more encompassing is the gift of God in Christ for everyone? Before we were born, before we were baptized, before we would be able to choose to love God, God loves us. He loved us before we were lovable. As St. Paul writes, since we were reconciled to God through his death, through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? In spite of our flaws and shortcomings, God makes us more lovable through the grace of his Son and in the Holy Spirit. And that is the privilege of being chosen by God.